The title of tonight's message is God's Masterpiece. God's Masterpiece. We'll get back into the book of Revelation next week, but tonight, God's Masterpiece. When you see that portrait there, you can't help but think of... Very good. I also think of Leonardo da Vinci. Tonight, what I'd like to do, just for a few minutes, I'd like for you to imagine that we're in a museum. And in this museum, we're looking at different masterpieces. Now we look to the next one. That's Jesus at his baptism, a painting that was also a work of Leonardo da Vinci. And we move on to the next one that is definitely going to be the most popular of his works. You can go ahead and turn the lights back up. This is the most sought after work of Leonardo da Vinci. Great masterpiece. Guinness World Records lists the Mona Lisa as having the highest insurance value for a painting in history. It was assessed at $100 million on December 14th, 1962, before the painting toured the United States for several months. Taking inflation into account, the 1962 value would be around $772 million today. Extremely valuable. But you know what's more valuable than the most valuable masterpiece of this world is you. Tonight I want to draw your attention to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. Paul the Apostle writes this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And Father, again, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. And Lord, I pray, I ask that your word would have such an effect in our hearts that it would just encourage us in such a tremendous way, reminding us of how valuable we are in your eyes. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. I ask that you'd bless them, you would encourage them and strengthen them in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Leonardo created some masterpieces that perhaps some of you look at and say, well, that's not all that beautiful, and yet they're so valuable. These works were an expression of his thoughts and of his heart. It was an expression of his creative ability. Now, the scriptures tell us that we who are the children of God, we are masterpieces. We are the expression of divine thought. We're expression of the divine heart. Each one of us so special, so unique, a one of a kind. And before the foundations of the world, God had each one of us in his heart and in his mind, and he knew exactly that you would be born in this generation. And he thought about every detail of your character or of your personality, of the way you would look, of what locale, where you would be born, what nationality. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, the scriptures tell us, again, we are his workmanship. That word workmanship in the original language is poema. It's where we get our English word poem. And if you think of a poet, again, you can't help but to think that his poems are a creation of who he is. And you and I, we are a work of art. But for what purpose and how did this happen? Well, it happened the day that you became a follower of Christ. The day that you became a follower of Christ, you became a new creation. And every old thing has passed away, and all things have become new. You have gotten a new mind. Aren't you a different person? You have a new mind. You have new purposes. You see things different. You have a new heart, a changed heart. And you've become alive to God and aware of his presence in your everyday life. We've become new in Christ. That is, in Christ. In Christ. If you're not in Christ, you haven't experienced that newness of life that you can only experience through faith in Christ. And today is the day of salvation for those of you who are here and you haven't made a commitment to Christ. You can do it right now. Right now, even while I'm speaking. You know, Peter the Apostle was preaching to a group of Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. You can read it on your own. Cornelius, Peter was at Cornelius' house and he had a household of people there. And as Peter was sharing the gospel, faith was taking place. And some of those folks made a commitment to Christ right while he was preaching. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing stopping any of you here who are not in Christ to make that commitment right now while the Word of God is being shared. But we who are in Christ, we are a new creation. That's how it happened when we made that commitment to Christ. But for what? God tells us through the inspired word that Paul penned, we were created in Christ for good works. Works that benefit others. Works that bring value to others. And only you can express the divine work that God has worked inside of you like no one else can. Only you can reflect that work that Jesus has done in your heart. And that's why it's so important for each one of us to be reminded that we are workmanship of God. We are very special, a one of a kind. And God has called us to be confident in Christ and in serving Christ Not being preoccupied with other people or thinking to ourselves, I'm not like him, I'm not like her, I can't, because forget about other people, except to show them the work of God in your life through your lips and through your actions. Because each one of us has a sphere of influence, and each one of us can make a great difference in the lives of other people. And that's why we were created in Christ, to benefit others and to bring value to others. Whether it's in the home, parents bringing value, benefiting our children. Spouses benefiting, bringing value to our spouses by being a channel of the divine influence of God in and through our lives, reaching out and showing the love of God to those around us. In the workplace, living a life in such a way that we bring value and we benefit other people. That's why God created us in Christ, for good works. We don't have good works to get saved. No. Jesus saves us, and then it's just a natural byproduct, not for salvation, but as a result of, to go and work. You know, I once heard someone say, the law is like this: work and I'll pay you. But grace and what God has shown us, which is His grace, says here, paid in full, now go work. One of the reasons why we were created in Christ was for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, I want to give you some examples. A few examples that shows how God had such a plan for some of the characters in Scripture. They weren't seeking. They weren't trying. It's as if God came to them and says, hey, I have a plan for your life. Let's first go to Genesis chapter 12. Our first example is Abraham, here known as Abram. Abram comes on the scene. There's no dialogue between him and God prior to this. There's no commentary that he was seeking God. There's nothing. Just an ordinary guy. But here God has a plan for Abram's life, a plan for good works to benefit others for the glory of God, and for the whole world. And this plan was thought of before the foundations of the world. And so Abram has this encounter with God, and God tells him in verse 1, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Has God, those of you who are Bible students, has God carried out his plan for Abram? See, God had this plan for Abram. Abram had no clue, and yet Abram walked through that whole plan that God had for him. And we know Abram as Abraham, the father of faith. You don't even know his last name. This was what? Almost, what, 4,000 years ago this man lived on the earth? And here we are, over 4,000 years later, talking about a man named Abraham. And if you mention Abraham, pretty much in any country, people know who Abraham is. And we also understand that Abraham, it was through him that the Hebrews came, the nation of Israel came, and through the nation of Israel came the Messiah, and the Messiah, Jesus our Savior, has blessed the whole world. And God had a plan for Abram to use him in an amazing way. And you know what strikes me about Abram? Is that Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham made some mistakes. Abraham blew it. He had lapses of faith. And yet God created Abraham in Christ for good works. And some of you may think in your mind, what do you mean in Christ? Abraham didn't even know about the gospel. You're wrong. Turn to Galatians. Galatians is right before the book of Ephesians. Check this out. Chapter 3, verse 8. Galatians 3, 8. And Paul writes, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, did what? Preached the gospel to Abraham, before saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed." Abraham already knew the gospel, and he was a part of God's plan. And no matter what Abraham did, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you can go do evil and do wrong and God will just honor that. No, don't get that out of the message, because that is not the message. But Abraham made mistakes. The point that I'm making is that God worked out his plan through an ordinary individual, through a person who was prone to make mistakes, and God was faithful to his promises. And one thing that Abraham had, even though he may have made mistakes, he believed in God. He trusted God. Now I want to show you another example real quick. The next one is Joseph. You could turn to chapter 37 of the book of Genesis. Chapter 37, we're looking at verses 5 through 11. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaves." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us?" They understood the dream that Joseph was explaining. Joseph was a young boy at this time. He was 17 years old. God had given him a dream that one day his brothers would come and bow before him. Joseph had a vision of the future, something that would not take place until 13 years later. Talk about God preparing good works for people. And God had prepared to use Joseph in bringing that little family, Jacob, and about 70 people, his sons and their wives and their generation, eventually into Egypt, because there was a famine all over where they were, all over the world. But Egypt had great resources because Joseph was there now, fast forwarding 13 years into the future. And God had established Joseph. God had given Joseph great wisdom. And Joseph was like next to Pharaoh, second in command. And Joseph, he had some dreams and visions, and he was able to understand that there was going to be years of famine, but prior to that, there was going to be years of abundance. And so he took advantage in those years of abundance, and he provided for the years of famine. And so later on down the road, this vision, 13 years later, came to pass because his brothers, and for those of you who know the story, this is just a kind of review, but for those of you who don't, his brothers ended up, because they hated him and were jealous of him, they sold him into slavery. And so Joseph became a slave in the land of Egypt, but God was with him. And Joseph continued to, so to speak, climb up the ladder. It was God promoting him and giving him a position of great prominence and influence and power. And his brothers ended up coming to him, and just like the dream, bowing before him, not even recognizing who he was. You can read the story, the account in the rest of the chapters, especially in the latter part of the book of Genesis. But there's another dream that God gives him here in chapter 37, where in verse 8 we continue, "Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. Again, 13 years later, this came to pass. And what is the point? The reason why I use this example is because here God presents this plan that he has, specific plan to Joseph in a dream. And although the details, he doesn't understand how that's all going to work out, it does work out. But the sad thing is it works out in some very unfortunate ways if you know the story of Joseph. You can almost say his life after this point, shortly thereafter, was just filled with a series of unfortunate events. And it was a long journey from the time he received the dream to the time the dreams were fulfilled. And so my point is this. There are some things that God has designed for us, for you. And maybe there are, in your heart and in your mind, you know God has a plan, a purpose, a future, greater than what it is right now. God's going to use you in a special way. And I believe God wants to use us all in special ways. But the journey might take time. So don't grow weary in well-doing. Be patient, for you will reap if you faint not. Hang in there. God has a good work for you. And right now you might be in a season where you're going through a series of unfortunate events, and it could seem like, where are you, God? You can be feeling quite discouraged. But I want to encourage you, remember, God has ordained good works for you, and you should walk in them. I want to point you to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We saw a couple examples. Now the psalmist, he writes about his life and what he understood as far as how God has designed his life. And he gives some details that when I think about it, it really blows my mind to think about how each of our days are recorded in a book. God has, well, let's read. We can begin in verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, a masterpiece, a one of a kind. And then he says, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And then listen what he says. He says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed before the foundations of the world. Good works prepared for us. He says, before being yet unformed, you saw my substance, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. I don't know about you, but that has a real profound effect within my spirit. To think that God created me, I am a masterpiece, an expression of His divine thoughts, His feelings. I'm a new creation in Christ, and that He has my life just charted out. Days, even before I was born, He has my days written out in His book of good works that I would accomplish. And I believe that day that I made a commitment to Jesus Christ, that's the day that I started to enter into what He ordained for my life. And I believe the same is true of each one of us. That day, because it says we were created for good works in Christ. And when we came to Christ and we became born again, that's when we started fulfilling the very will of God, the specific will and purpose of God, and that is to do works that benefit other people. Now, some of us may think to ourselves, well, I don't really see much going on in my life. You know, I struggle. I'm really not doing all too good. It seems like a long, slow process. Well, to some degree, that's normal. But you want me to tell you the secret? The secret, how to, so to speak, turbo boost all of the ups and downs and the slow progress. Do you want me to tell you the secret? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. God is looking to show Himself strong on the behalf of those who are loyal to Him. And if you, as a masterpiece of God, want to really develop to a point where you are expressing God's divine influence in a greater and powerful way, Paul tells us the secret. He says in verse 20 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, listen to what he says here. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, those things that are dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and listen, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. He says, listen, if you cleanse yourself from all those things that are dishonorable, think about your private life, the inner person. What is your thought like? Your thought life like? What are your affections towards? What are the things that you spend a lot of your time doing? Are they things of honor or things of dishonor? Look, you are already, if you're in Christ, you're already a masterpiece. You're already a masterpiece. But if you want to be even greater in your effectiveness, there is still our part to do. You know, the scripture says that God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so, what goes on inside? Are there things of dishonor? For some, it could be lust that is not being dealt with, sexual immorality. For others, it could be greed, jealousy. For others, it could be unforgiveness, bitterness. Those things aren't fitting for masterpieces. Those are things that just collect, you know, it's like I want to present it like you have a masterpiece that's just kind of sitting over there on a shelf, covered with maybe blankets and loaded with dusts. And it's covering the true value. And so the exhortation for tonight, listen, is this. Let's cleanse ourselves from those things that are dishonorable to God. Why? Because of who we are. We're masterpieces. And we want to show forth the glory of God who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. There's a whole world that needs Jesus. And each one of us can make a difference in reaching others for Christ. And we don't have to be Billy Grahams. We can't be. We don't have to be, you name it. Who's the person in your mind that you think, man, if I can only be? God has called you to be you. And you and I can make a difference with the sphere of influence that we have. Because we are workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. God prepared these works for us before the foundations of the world. And it says, His heart's desire that we walk in them. Things that aren't fitting, get rid of them. And you know, some of you may feel like, you know, I know I'm called for something very specific. But you don't know what that is. Well, let me tell you, You just be faithful to obey God and do what's right in God's sight where you are right now. The rest will just fall in place. I love every one of you, and I'm thankful to God for you. Now, some of you might say, well, you don't even know me. How can you love me? Because Christ has put a love in my heart for you. And I do care about your spiritual well-being. And I love you. And I am thankful that God has brought you here. And that we can spend this time together. And my heart's desire is to see God work in each of your lives in great ways. You are very special. And you are one of a kind. You don't have to try to be anybody else. You just be who you are in Christ, because God's plan for you is much better than yours or anybody else's. Love Jesus with your whole heart and let Jesus work through you. But first, He'll work in you. And as He works in you and influences you, let Him work through you. And Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We pray that You'd be glorified in our lives. Lord, it encourages my heart to think that You've made me a new creation. You've made us to reflect You. We have a new purpose now in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and that is to do Your will, something that You've already, since the foundations of the world, purpose for us to do. And Lord, we want to walk in Your will. I thank You for my brothers and sisters, and I pray, God, that You would strengthen each one of us. And as we wait on You, that we would trust and believe that You are using us and are going to continue to use us in greater ways each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.